Matthew 27, starting at verse 50. As before our Lord utters this cry, we've been told that from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried. Verse 50. And Jesus cried again with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and many bodies of the saints that had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth out of the tomb after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were done, feared exceedingly, saying, "This was the Son of God." Let us speak to the Lord again in prayer. Now, Father, we are thankful that because of this portion that we have read this morning and those words that follow it, we have hope. Let us know that apart from it, there is no hope. We are, of all men, most miserable. But we are thankful, our Father, that thy Son promised that his word would never pass away. Heaven and earth would pass away, but not his word. And we have in our hands those gospels containing his words and containing the words that he spoke concerning the death and the resurrection that he was to experience. We are thankful for the preservation of these truths in the Holy Scriptures. We have read them this morning, our Father, and yet they are no more than ordinary words written in an ordinary book unless thy Spirit doth work in the hearts of all who are here. And we know, our God, that in the eyes of the world, this is Easter. And there are so many things that could, on this special occasion, take our thoughts away from him and set them upon us or the occasion. But wilt thou intervene, our God, and prepare the hearts for a brief time to be reverent, to be attentive, and to be receptive to the truth as thy Spirit doth give utterance. And you must do this because our sufficiency is all of God. And so show us the sacredness of this hour and bless us, we pray. Let us know our sins, forgive them and cleanse them, because thou hast promised to do it if we confess them, and that is what we do. Hear us, we ask of thee, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody with a grain of intelligence must recognize that what things occurred when the Lord Jesus Christ died were extraordinary things. The people who were there when he died, and you, if you listen, let me show you what I mean. If we look out at this time of the day and see the sun, there is nothing exceptional about it, nothing out of the ordinary. But if suddenly, for no apparent reason, at noonday, it became dark as night, then something extraordinary has occurred. And if things go on as they are, stability, there is nothing out of the ordinary about that. But if suddenly the building were to begin to shake and the lights to move back and forth, then something out of the ordinary has happened. And if rocks were rent, and if the graves were opened, if those things happened, then something extraordinary has taken place. And when the Lord Jesus died, these things and more happened, and they were extraordinary things. Now, as far as the natural man is concerned, that is all that they may have been, ordinary things out of the ordinary, extraordinary things. But to some people, they were not extraordinary things that happened when Jesus died, but they were supernatural things that happened when the Son of God died. But it takes more than a grain of intelligence to understand that. And some of us here this morning confess without wavering that what took place was supernatural and that the Son of God has died. It is not that we have more intelligence than the atheists and agnostics. In fact, we probably have less. But we have something that the atheists and agnostics do not have. That is the Spirit of God working upon our hearts to which we respond. And when that happens, I am superior to any man when an all-knowing God imparts to me understanding. When he opens my eyes that I might see, then take man at his best, and he is inferior to the weakest of God's creatures enlightened by his Creator. And that is what some of us have understood, that not something extraordinary happened in nature when Jesus died, but something supernatural happened and was done to nature when the Son of God died. But I only know that because the Spirit of God has revealed it to me. An ignorant and unlearned fisherman named Peter looked at the Lord Jesus and said, "You're the Messiah. You're the Son of the living God." And the Lord Jesus said, "Flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven." And so, what I read to you this morning, I tell you, was not something extraordinary, but it was something supernatural. And I tell you this because some supernatural power has revealed it. And unless some supernatural power reveals it unto you, you will go through life as one who says, they were extraordinary things that happened when Jesus died. But whether you are in the first category, or in the second category, or I hope that you're in the third category. That is, you are not an atheist, one who denies the existence of God, not an agnostic, one who does not know, and secretly you say, I just say this because I really know that there is no God, but to be polite, I say, I do not know. That is one category. But there was another category, those who do know. As Paul said, I know whom I have believed. That's a different category. But thank God that in the world, there is a third category. Those who honestly say, I desire to know. If any man will do God's will, he shall know. And there are those who come, like those Greeks, and say, Sir, we would see Jesus. They are searching, they are feeling after God. And I can promise you this, that if you will allow the Spirit of God who has worked upon the hearts of so many of us here, and if you will allow that same Spirit to work upon your heart, and will not be rebellious, but will be malleable as a piece of clay in your Creator's hand, then at the end of the day, there will not be three categories, there will only be two. Those whose hearts have been hardened who say, there is no God. The fools who say, there is no God. But then only those who say, I did not know, but now I know. Those who know that something supernatural happened. But one thing I can assure you of, that however you take the passage that I read to you from Matthew, whether you believe it, whether you reject it, I can assure you this, that God was determined that the death of his Son would not go unnoticed and not go unsignaled. Think now, how could something, before we had the printing presses the way we do today, before we had the media of radio and television and communication, how could something that happened so long ago in such an obscure place seen by so few, how could it ever be spread? How could it be broadcast over the earth? Well, God had his ways before man brought forth his invention. And when the Lord Jesus Christ was born in Bethlehem of Judea, God said, I'm not going to let this birth go unsignaled. And so God caused a special star in the heavens to appear. And the wise men from the east saw it, and they were guided by that star. Something supernatural. Now, the scientists say, about the time when Jesus was born, and they speak of all of these natural things, and God always leads it that way. He leads it so that what took place could either be interpreted as something extraordinary or something supernatural. He always leads it that way. He does not force the truth upon you. And so the scientist says, yes, these stars were in conjunction and there was this bright light, and that was the star of Bethlehem. God knows no such star. God is he who miraculously caused that star to appear and guide those wise men to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ was. This was supernatural. But the others look at it and say, it was something extraordinary in the heavens. But God did not let the birth of his son go unsignaled and unnoticed. He caused light to appear in heaven when there was darkness. And now, in like manner, when the death of the Lord Jesus Christ as a common criminal took place upon the cross, God said, I am not going to let this death go unsignaled. And so instead of putting light in the heaven at night when it was dark, God spoke to the sun, and the sun refused to give its light at noonday. And God caused darkness to be present when there should have been light, as God at the birth of Christ caused light to be present when it should have been dark. And whether or not man wants to acknowledge it, at least he would say something peculiar is going on here, something out of the ordinary. You say, yes, but it doesn't mean that everybody who was living at that time in Jerusalem took notice of it. What if a man were blind? I laugh at you, because God said, I will not only show to those who have eyes, but I will take mankind, and I will take the earth on which his feet are placed, and I shall shake it, and I will cause an earthquake to come. And when it is, if a man is blind, and he cannot see with his eyes, he can feel with his body. And so, if the building begins to shake, you who are blind will know that something extraordinary is happening. And so, do not worry. God has determined that the death of his son shall not go unnoticed. He does not assure you this. He does not assure that you shall know what that darkness means, what that shaking means. But God is going to let you know that when his son dies, the sun is refusing to shine, and the earth is refusing to remain stable. There is an earthquake. And other things. God says, I'm going to rend the rocks, all of these rocks that you as a child have played upon. I can remember as a child when I used to go fishing, there was this massive rock that I would sit on, drop my pole in the water, and fish. Now, if I went back and I looked and that rock was rent, I would know that something extraordinary had happened. I would not know what it meant, but at least I would know that it happened. And if I went to the cemetery and all of these graves that we had covered to hide our dead out of sight, if they were open, then I would know that something extraordinary had happened. And so whether or not you understand it and are able to interpret it, at least then and now, if you are a thinking individual, you will say something extraordinary happened. And God says, now I have your attention. The same way that he got Moses' attention when he saw that bush burning. And he said, well, that bush is burning, but it's not consumed. He said, I'm going to go and check into this marvelous sight. And when God saw that he had his attention, he said, take your shoes from off your feet. The place whereon thou standest is holy ground. God got his attention. And then God interpreted. God spoke to him, explained what was taking place. Now, these things that I've told you could be looked at by the agnostic and the scientist as something extraordinary, and nature in confusion, how remarkable, what a coincidence, and they could set it aside. Except for this thing. Except for what happened in the temple and what happened in the graveyard. But when they hear of this, they say, well, not everybody saw what took place in the temple. The veil of the temple was rent. That's true. And not everybody saw what took place in the graveyard, that the bodies of the saints came out and appeared to many in Jerusalem. And because of that, I refuse to believe that the veil in the temple was rent. Or if it were rent, it was an accident. And this is simply a myth about people coming out of the tomb. And so this is the way they deal with all the valid evidence that God gives. What did take place that they cannot deny, they say, what a coincidence of nature. How extraordinary. And then they set it aside. And the things that cannot be set aside, they say they did not happen. And so that is why the earth will eventually be resolved into two categories. Those who have had a chance and who have refused and whose hearts are hardened, they will not believe. And to them, it was an extraordinary event. Jesus died. But for those whose hearts have been spoken to by the Spirit of God, They say it was a supernatural event, and the Son of God died. And what I desire this morning is that not another Easter shall go by when all of the frivolity of man and all of the traditions and all the things that Satan through man has brought in to detract from the reality of Christ is alive forevermore, that all of these things shall be put out of your mind, all the clothing, all the visiting, the occasion, that all of these things shall be brushed aside, and that this day you shall experience in your heart that Christ is alive. He is my Savior. He is the one who died and rose again that I might be saved. That is why God gave us Easter. That is why God and I rejoice in every opportunity that is occasion for man to come out to church, because so many come at Christmas and at Easter, well, at least they come and have two opportunities, if a servant of God faithfully preaches the word, to hear the truth. And so let this Easter be the time when the truth of it is experienced in your heart. And then, as the Lord Jesus said, because I live, you shall live also. That is what God wants to take place this day. He wants something more than that which visits children to visit you. He wants the Son of God to be admitted into your heart and to become your Savior. And so what I'm going to do now is to show you that indeed not something extraordinary happened, but something supernatural happened, and that it was not nature in confusion, but it was nature designed by God to convey to us messages that, though not written in a book, are as clear as if they had been written in a book, because God has given us the interpretation. Understand this, that before men could read and write, before they had paper that we are familiar with to write on, before they had iron to chisel into a stone, before these, God was speaking to man. It says in Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. God says, my creation should speak to man. And there are men, like Sir Isaac Newton, who look at the heavens and say, God created the heavens and the earth. Look at the Lord Jesus Christ and acknowledge all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that hath been made. The heavens declare the glory of God, and brilliant men, assisted by the Spirit, look and see and say, God created this. Others can look at it in their superficial wisdom and say, it is not of necessity true. It all happened by chance. But I say that those men who are wise by nature and those who are fools by nature, if the Spirit of God speaks to them and they do not refuse, then the heavens declare, the firmament showing, it speaks, God utters through nature. But now, I say that God's message that he utters through heaven and earth, through nature, does not tell us the message that God uttered through the phenomena that occurred when the Lord Jesus Christ died. They can be interpreted. It says in Romans chapter 1, it says the heavens are revealing to man his eternal power and Godhead so that they are without excuse. And so man, if he wills to know, can look at the universe and say, God, God's eternal power, his Godhead, his deity, they can see that if they will. But that is all that they can see. The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth his handiwork. That is all that they show. But God, when he intervenes in nature, and remember that most of the time he has set his physical laws of nature in motion, and nature goes on, and the scientists laughing at us can tell us exactly the phases of the moon. They can tell us at what moment a spaceship can be launched from Earth to arrive at a certain spot on the moon. They can tell us when an eclipse is going to occur. Why? Because God has set in motion the laws of nature, and that's all they know. But they have never been present when God intervened in nature and altered the laws of nature as we know them. And when it does happen, they say, how remarkable. But they do not seek any interpretation of it because they are not able. But to the Christian, he looks at it and he understands all things, because it says, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things. And those who are spiritual or enlightened by the Spirit of God look at the events of history as well as the facts of science and enabled by God's Spirit, they interpret these events. And this is what God would have us to do this morning concerning the things that happened that I read to you in Matthew 27. Think of them for a moment. It says there was darkness over the earth from 12 o'clock until 3 o'clock. That was out of the ordinary. That's the brightest part of the day, from 12 to 3. And it says the veil in the temple was rent. That veil that was so thick that had you had a sharp sword and had a ladder to climb up, you would with great difficulty have been able to rend that veil in two. It says the veil in the temple was rent. And then it says there was an earthquake, and the rocks were rent, and the tombs were open, and the bodies of the saints that slept came forth out of the tombs after his resurrection and appeared unto many in the holy city. And so these are the things that God has told us. These are the facts. These are the phenomena that occurred when Jesus died. And let us see what message they convey to us if we listen to the Spirit of God. Think of the areas in which God has borne witness. In the Old Testament, the Lord said, I call heaven and earth to witness. And the Jews said to the Lord Jesus, show us a sign from heaven. And the Lord Jesus said, I am not going to show you a sign from heaven. But the Father, when his son died, said to them, I will show you a sign from heaven. And I will show you a sign on earth. And so he caused the Son of Heaven to refuse to shine. And that was a sign from heaven. And he caused the earth to rend. And he said an earthquake. And that was the sign on earth. And in the religious realm, to those priests who would not believe, God said, I will rend this veil in two. And so in the area of religion, God rent the veil. And he said, I will witness to you. And in the area of death and hell, God said, I will witness there as well. And so in the area of death, he caused the tombs to open. And then he caused them to rise from the dead. And so you say, then God hath witnessed in nature, nature's heaven and nature's earth. And God hath witnessed in the realm of religion. And God hath witnessed in hell and in death and in life as well. Why, of course. And that includes every area in which witness could take place. Heaven and earth, life and death, light and darkness, naturally and religiously. In what other areas could God bear witness? And God has borne witness in all of these areas. And except in one, only in one, they can be looked at and spoken of as, well, what a coincidence. Indeed, extraordinary things did take place when Jesus died. But if you listen to God's interpretation, aided by his Spirit, you see that all of these things are not nature in confusion, but it is God designing nature to behave in such and such a way that nature conveys a distinct message, and it is undeniable, and it is visible to the eye of every Christian whose eye has been anointed by the Spirit of God. Now, let's think of this. God says, darkness shall come upon the earth at noonday. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ said, I am the light of the world. And now the light of the world is having his physical life removed. And the light of the world that came to shine into the hearts of men is being crushed and distorted. He is being visited by death and darkness. And God said, darkness shall come upon the earth at noonday. But this is not how it was until this last moment of Christ's existence, for this reason. It says, in fulfillment of the prophecy in Isaiah, that those in Zebulun and Naphtali, across the Jordan River, it says, to them that sat in darkness, there shone a great light. And to them that sat in the region and shadow of death, to them did spring up light. And so when the light of the world came to men who were seeking, then their darkness was struck by light, and death and the shadow of death that instilled fear in the hearts of men all their lifetime, the light of the world came, and it drove away that darkness. But we are told in Luke's gospel that man's hour came, and the Lord Jesus said, this is your hour and the power of darkness. And this is what happens when God is allowed to have his way. The light comes and shines into darkness and dispels death and suffering and pain and ignorance. But when man has his way, this is your hour and the power of darkness, he would extinguish the light permanently if he could. And this is what all the atheists are trying to do today. And God allows it for a while, as he himself ordained it for those 3 hours from 12 till 3 when Christ died. God allows the light to be affected by some in the world today. But remember this, that it was only dark from 12 till 3, and then the light burst forth again. And this is your hour and the power of darkness. And the Apostle Paul speaks about man's day, but God's day is coming. But understand this, yes, there is darkness because man is having his hour and the power of darkness. And the Lord Jesus submitted himself into this hour and into this darkness. And so God will bear witness from heaven in nature that the light of the world is dying, that no ordinary man, no malefactor is being crucified, but the light of the world, the Prince of Light, is being put to death. And God said, the sun shall refuse to shine. And God insists that the light of the world is dying, and it be testified to that this man is he who is dying. Now, it says this. It says that the veil in the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom. And I must mention this. It says the rocks were rent, and the tombs were opened, and those that were in the tombs came out and appeared unto many. It tells us this. When God rent the veil, that was one message. When God rent the earth and the tombs were opened, that was another message, the other side of the one message that God was giving. And what is this? I must tell you that until the day that Christ died, there was a thick veil that was rent in twain in the temple. And God had placed that veil there. And Hebrews interprets it for us. It says, as long as that veil stood, God was signifying by the Holy Spirit that the way into the holiest of all had not as yet been made manifest. As long as that veil stood there, the way into the presence of God was closed. But God rent that veil. And Hebrews 10 tells us, the veil is Christ's flesh. I see. And so God himself put that veil to shut man out from his presence. And God sent death to shut out man from life everlasting. But now when the Lord Jesus Christ dies, he rents the veil that he himself had created. And he puts to an end death that he sent upon man who disobeyed God. And now there are two rent things. And now the way into the presence of God is open. And the way out of death and hell is opened. And so God has opened the way out of death and hell. And he has opened the way into life and eternal life. And he does it all the day that Jesus Christ dies. And you look at it and you say, how extraordinary. And it is the blindness of man. Whereas God says, I am determined that you shall see the significance of the death of my son. What no man has ever been able to do. Jesus Christ in a moment of time. And he says, it is finished. And when he dies, God says, it is done. And what men could never do, enter into the presence of God, is done by the death of Jesus Christ. His veil, the veil which is his flesh, was rent. And now God said, let all sinners who will trust in his precious cleansing blood come in. Let us come boldly to the throne of grace. And that is what happened when the veil was rent. And what if God offered eternal life to any who could live forever and go into heaven? How would you take advantage of that offer? There is nothing that you could do. What about your mothers and grandmothers and your loved ones who are dead? How are they going to get out if the veil is open? There is no way. The same God who rent the veil must of necessity open the tombs, and God has done that. And the Lord Jesus Christ says in Revelation 1, he said, fear not. He said, I am the living one. He said, and I was dead, and I am alive forevermore. And I have the keys of death that claims the body, and hell that claims the soul. And so all of these saints that were